This podcast is brought to you by Dingle Mount Church. It will open up God's Word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
That song was says, "I serve a risen Savior, and He's all in the world to me. And how do I know that He lives?" He says He lives within my heart. The scripture reading this evening will be taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. So we're going back to the reading from the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. And I'll read just a verse of scripture from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. For I think last Sunday and this Sunday, morning and evening, what we've just been looking at is getting our hearts ready for the year ahead of us, and some things we need to put in place if we are going to get the best out of this year. I remember last Sunday, I think I spoke on what makes the new year really happy. And so tonight we'll be looking at making godly resolutions, if you want to call it that, or if you want resolution time again, for those who don't like resolutions. But we just want to look at this subject a little bit this evening. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and I'll read, let's look at it from verse 1, really, just to get the real flow of the passage. It says, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil." He says, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." He says, "For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words." And then verse 4, he says, "When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed." And then verse 5, of course, says, "It is better not to vow than to vow and not to pay." In other words, it's better not to say you will do it and you end up not doing what you said you will do. Lord, we just pray that you'll help us as we still get our hearts ready in this new year, that you will not just speak into our hearts, but prepare us, Lord, for this journey ahead of us, that in all that we do and say will be pleasing before you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure that for some of us here, or maybe most of us, the mention of that word resolutions, it must have triggered off a reaction on the inside of you. And the reaction could either be positive, in other words, you love that word resolution, because it's a word that reminds you of the things that you need to, not just to say you will do, but to follow through and do those things that you've said or promised that you're going to do. And for some others, resolution simply reminds them of those things that we end up saying we will do, write them down, we make a commitment to do them, and we end up maybe a week after or 2 weeks after that we've said it, we end up not doing them. So no matter what resolution maybe means to you or what feelings it invokes in your heart, the reality is that when you come to the scriptures, you will see men and women, those that walk with God. I wouldn't use the word resolution because you might not actually find the exact word in the Bible, but men and women who made promises, who vowed to do things for God, who vowed to do things with respect to their lives as Christians or as those whom God has called, and they followed it through till the very end. And the reason why some people don't quite like resolutions, especially at the end, at the beginning of a new year, is that resolution sometimes reminds them of works. In other words, what you do, you have to do this, you have to do that, and you have to do this. And sometimes it sounds like we are trying to use works to please God. Not what some people say, well, if I set this goal for myself, or if I say this is what I'm going to do, and I end up not doing it, it creates that feeling of guilt, and I end up at the end of the day not feeling happy or great with myself. And moreover, I can't please God with my works and the things I do and the things I do not do. Although there is some truth in that statement, because actually we can't please God by our works. No matter how many things you set out and say, this is what I'm going to do in my relationship with God, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. I think a few months ago I was speaking with someone who was so determined to live a life of consecration. And this lady, this is what she said. I want you to listen to this. She said she had promised God that if I ever do this, and she mentioned what she said, if she ever does that, that she'd rather let go, she'd rather have die than live to disobey God. And as she said that, it struck me, because I said to her, I said, but actually, God is not going to kill you, because we know that God is a God of grace. But the reality is that you have a commitment, and that commitment shows that you are willing to do everything to make sure that you live to obey God. And that is some people's determination when it comes to resolutions or vow. They have made up their minds, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to follow it all the way through. And when you come to the Bible, like I said, you've got men and women and those who made vows to God, who made resolutions to God, who knew what they wanted to do, and they followed it through. A few days ago, I was reading the life of the works of Jonathan Edwards. I don't know how many of us have taken time to read the works of Jonathan Edwards, especially volumes 1 and volume 2. But this is from one of the volumes. And Jonathan Edwards, we all admire him so much for the works that he's done and for all the achievements and the things that he's done and the great preaching, the words that he spoke. But I looked at his life and I found out that he actually had resolutions that he made. And some of these resolutions were things that he promised, not just to himself, but to God, that he was going to follow them through. And I'm just going to read some of them to you tonight so that you can think about them. Look at what he said. He said here that he has resolved. He says that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to the glory of God and my own good, profit and pleasure. He says, in the whole of my duration, without any consideration of the time, whether now or never, so many myriads of ages hence. A little bit in an old English, but I'm sure we get the feeling of what he's saying. Listen to what he says again. He says, resolved to do whatever I think to be my duty, and most for the good and advantage of mankind in general. Now, that's a good resolution for someone to make. Listen to this again. He said, resolved to live with all my might while I do live. In other words, it's not just about being alive, but I'm going to live with all my might, he says, while I live. Listen to this again. He says, resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. Now think about that one. Resolved to never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. And then another one. Resolved never to do anything out of revenge. And these are the things, some of the things that actually formed the foundation of his walk with God. Because he looked at himself. He knew God had called him. He knew he was going to live a life of total dedication and consecration to God, and so he resolved that these principles, these were the things that will govern his life. Look at this again. He says, resolved to study the scriptures so steadily, constantly, and frequently, as that I may find and plainly perceive myself to grow in the knowledge of the same. There are quite a few others, but I'll just give us one more. And look at this one. This is in terms of suffering. So you can see that his resolution actually covers practically every area of his life. And he says, resolved after afflictions, when he's gone through afflictions, he says, to inquire what I am the better for them, what good I have got by them, and what I might have got by them. And when you think about these resolutions, it shows you that Jonathan Edwards wasn't just a man who did so much for God, but he was a man who not just had those resolutions that guided him, but he was determined to follow through with those resolutions. So when you see great men and great women being used by God, some of them greatly gifted by God, every single one of them, I've read quite a good number of them and I've looked into their lives, most of them were great men of not just determination, but they had resolution. They resolved that no matter what they do, they have made up their minds to follow through with some principles in their lives. Because the reality is that if we don't have any guiding principles, either from the scriptures that we have made up our minds to do, then we will give in to anything that comes across our way. But tonight we're just going to look at, I think, about three resolutions, which I think this is a new year and it's something that we can consider. They are not things that we are not familiar with. Some of us are familiar with it, but we're going to look at men from the scriptures who made simple vows to God. And not just that they made these vows to God, but these vows, we can learn something. We can draw principles from these vows as we go through this year. And the first person is Jacob. We know the life of Jacob, if you go with me, please, to the book of Genesis. And you see in Genesis chapter 28 that Jacob made a vow. We know Jacob, who was a cheat, who cheated his brother Esau and ran off. And his brother Esau went after him. And he got to a point in his life when he was tired of cheating and doing the things that he ought not to do. He got to a place And he made this vow to God in Genesis chapter 28. And look at verse 22. Because in Genesis chapter 28, this was at Bethel. He'd already come to Bethel and he had an encounter. But there was a vow he made to God at Bethel. And he said there, he says, "And this stone which I have set as a pillar," he says, "shall be God's house. And of all that you give me," I want you to see what's going on there. "And all that you give me," in other words, all that you bless me with, God, "all that you give me," says, "surely I will surely give a tenth to you." And we know that for those that talk about tithing and the principles of giving out of the abundance and things that God blessed us with, we know that we can get that from the Bible. And you see, this is what Jacob was doing. And the amazing thing about Jacob here is that Jacob wasn't even a rich man. At this time, he even had nothing. He was running away from his brother. But he looked up to God and said, and he only held on to the promise that God had already given him. And he says, "God, if you bring me through, if you lead me, this is what I will do. And I will give you a tenth of what you have blessed me with." And we know that not just only Jacob, we also see that Abraham followed through with the same principle. If you go to the book of Genesis chapter 14, you see something similar. In Genesis chapter 14, I want you to look at verse 20. In Genesis chapter 14 there, look at what happened. This talks about Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem. And there you see it, that after he came, in verse 19 he says, "And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And what did he do? "And he gave him a tithe of all." So you can see that principle of a flowing abundance, the blessing, them giving back out of that which God had blessed them with. And if you go also to the book of Matthew, you can see that Jesus actually commended it. Not that Jesus Christ condemned it. There's this whole debate about whether the Christian should give a tenth, and there's no point getting into all that debate of how what you should give and what you shouldn't give. We know that in the New Testament, the principle for us as Christians is to give out of the abundance, the generosity of what God has blessed us. But look at what Jesus Christ told them in the book of Matthew chapter 23. Because in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was engaging with the scribes and the Pharisees. Actually, he was denouncing them, but when he came to this subject of them giving and tithing, listen to what Jesus Christ said to them, Matthew 23, verse 23. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," he says, "hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which are justice, mercy and faith. He says, this you ought to have done." But then look at the next phrase. He says, "without leaving the others undone." In other words, when Jesus was speaking to them, he wasn't counseling out and saying to them, "well, what matters is justice, mercy and faith. And whatever you're giving, you have to now stop giving and stop doing it." That wasn't what Jesus says. These are the things, mercy, justice and faith. Do them, but he says, without leaving the others undone. So in a way, he commended that aspect of giving. And also for us in the New Testament, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we are not going to read that because of time, you also see the principles coming through that God loves a cheerful giver, that out of the abundance of what God has blessed us, we give back to him to acknowledge that he is the owner of all things. And so what we are saying is that in the new year, the beginning of a year, which we know this is the time when people sit back and begin to think about what they have, what they don't have, all the money they've spent during Christmas that maybe they didn't even have, and they are likely going to get into debt in the new year, is a time for us to say to ourselves, "well, I need to keep that part of my dedication to God, that I will constantly give to him out of the blessing." And I'm sure that during Christmas, I don't know how many of you thought about this when you were doing the Christmas shoppings. It's so easy sometimes to forget that as much as we are spending and buying things, that it's so easy for our spending to even begin to eat into the things that we are supposed normally to give to God as a sign to show that we do appreciate him as the giver of all things. So the first resolution for this year for us will be to continue to give to God what is due to him. I'll show you a scripture in the book of Malachi, in Malachi chapter 3, and this was quite an interesting scripture, because if you go to the book of Malachi, the people there, it got to a point in their relationship with God that the prophet had to rebuke them. And what was he rebuking them about? Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, it says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And he says that there may be food in my house. And God then says, then prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing. And he says that there will not be room enough to receive it. And you can see, not only that did we see that from Genesis, the principles running through, God, the prophets, all speaking about the same thing, that the blessings are come through giving. No wonder why Paul, when he was speaking to them, he says, God loves a cheerful giver. So in all that I do in the new year, as part of my resolution, I spoke with my wife and she constantly reminds me of this. There is a need for us to always honor God with whatever that God is blessing and God is giving us. And I think this is something that we can and we will do. If you go back to the book of Genesis again, chapter 32, actually you see how God blessed him in Genesis chapter 32. In Genesis chapter 32, I want you to look at verse 10 of Genesis chapter 32. In Genesis chapter 32 there, and this is when he met his brother Esau and Jacob, and then he now proclaimed this great proclamation there in verse 10. He says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servants. He was talking to his brother. He said, for I cross over this Jordan, he says, with my staff. That was all I had. That was what he said. He says, and now I have become two companies. Because if you remember, God blessed him, God prospered him, and things happened. And now he had to meet his brother. And he bowed before him and he said, look at what God has done. In other words, God was faithful. God kept his promises, and his brother hugged him, and there was a reunion between him and his brother. But the only thing that we need to remember is that this man made a vow. And not just that he made a vow, he followed through to the vow. Something that I read recently about giving, that it shows, is actually a big test of our faith in terms of our heart condition. Because if a man can give God out of the little that he has, nothing guarantees that when God blesses him, as Jacob says here, now I have become two companies, that he will give God that, the out of the abundance of what God has given him. So it is a very great principle that for the Christian, we should continue to hold on to, that we will honor God with the things that God has blessed us with. Now, the second resolution which we need to look at, and this one is by David. If you go to the book of Psalm 119, actually I think Gloria was sharing this psalm with me this evening, not knowing that I was going to look at it. In Psalm 119, I want you to see from verses 15 or Psalm 119, and you'll see what the psalmist had to say. And I think that this is a good resolution that we, in a new year, we can make with respect to the word of God. In Psalm 119, from verses 15 to verse 16, look at verse 15 and 16 of Psalm 119. It says, I will meditate on your precepts. He said, and contemplate your ways. And then verse 16 says, I will delight myself. And that's what it's about. That's what vows, that's what resolutions are about. Delighting yourself in those things that you've said you will do. I will delight myself in your statutes. He says, I will not forget your words. And the first thing he's talking about there is to meditate on the word of God, the precepts of God. And this is a great resolution that we need to have. Not just are we talking about the blessings and the things that God gives us, we acknowledge him as the creator, the maker of all things, and we give it back to him. But he is saying here as well that I will meditate on thy words. That's the first thing. The second thing, that he will delight himself in those statutes. And then you see again that he will not forget God's word. Now, that sounds like the resolution, one of them, that Jonathan Edwards made concerning the reading of the scriptures. Not only that, is he giving himself wholeheartedly to the words of God, but he is saying that he will meditate on it, he will delight himself in it, and he will not forget those words. I don't know when this year started, what commitments you have made, especially with respect to the scriptures. If we have put every other thing in place, our finances in place, family matters in place, but we haven't put the reading of the scriptures or personal study or devotion in place, how then can God feed our spirit man? Because the reality is that we cannot just survive on only Sunday messages or coming to church on Sunday and listening to the message or reading the scriptures, but we need that daily devotion even in our homes. When we cross over to the new year, I had to introduce something new into my devotional time with my wife. And we sat down together and I told her that this is what we will be doing every morning or every evening before it's bedtime. And it's good, because what it does is that not just we respect the word of God, that we're beginning to delight in it, but somehow we are calling to remembrance those things that God has spoken to us in time past, but maybe we believe them as promises, but we are now pressing into them, praying into those scriptures and letting them live in our hearts and through us. So when it comes to the word of God, I think that in this new year, 2015, is something that we truly, all of us, can take very, very seriously. And as part of some of the men that I read, how they went through the Bible, I think this was 2 years ago when I first started using that method. Someone asked that, how can I read through the Bible, the entire Bible? And you look at it, it looks quite big, from Genesis to Revelation and all the chapters and pages through it. But it's very simple. It doesn't take much, really, to go through it. Do you know that something as simple as 4 chapters daily gets us through the entire Bible in a year? Just 4 chapters daily, devoting, saying to yourself, I'm going to get through this book of the Bible. Maybe you've never done it before. That might be a challenge. That might be something good to try in the new year with respect to the word of God, that I will read it. Or if that doesn't work for you, what about reading just 3 chapters on weekdays and then 5 on Sunday? That will also help you to cover the entire Bible. So there are ways that we all can, if we really want to, get through the word of God. But what we are saying, in essence, is that God may be calling us as part of our resolution, not only in the areas of the things he's blessed us with, to resolve that we are constantly going to honor him, but also with the word of God, we are going to take it extremely seriously. And the next thing, which is also a resolution, which I love, is in the life of Daniel. If you go to the book of Daniel chapter 1, and I want you to see this. And I love the way the Bible put it for us, because this was a young man whom we know lived at a time when there wasn't really any reason for him to believe that God could be faithful or true to his promises or to his words. But we are told that he kept holding on to it in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. What does the Bible say? Some of us know this scripture so well. And what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, it says that he proposed, and there you see, in his heart, that is a resolution, that is determination, that is saying to himself, this is what I'm going to do, in his heart, that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. It says, therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. This was a man, or a young man, who stood out in the midst of idolatry. This was a young man who stood for God instead of going with the crowd. This was a man who resolved in his heart that though he was living in a strange and a foreign land, taken captive by the enemy, that he will still not defile himself with the king's meat. And we know that around us, even as I speak today, there are loads of things that defile, that pollute the heart, that pollute the mind of the Christian. You don't have to go far. All you need to do is just look around your community. All you need to do is to switch on the TV. All you need to do is just to pick up a magazine or a newspaper or something. You will find something that is ready to defile your heart and your spirit. But the Bible calls us to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, undefiled. And this is the great thing about God, that when he gives us his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is there to help us, to cleanse us, and to help us to live that life of consecration and dedication that God is calling us to. Actually, that word defile simply means to soil or to pollute. And that's what it means. And you wonder, why did he say he wouldn't do that? It's not like there was anything wrong in itself in the king's delicacy. But the truth of the matter is, he knew the requirements of those whom God had called. He knew what God expected of them. So based on God's instructions, based on God's laws and commands, he had to speak and said, I will not do what you are asking me to do. And we saw how God honored him. That at the end of it, the Bible tells us that actually his countenance looked fresher, looked better than those who were feasting. That tells you that keeping yourself unspotted from the world, or serving God and following him and doing the things that God has called us to do, actually does pay. A man of God once said that a life of compromise will never be rewarding. For a Christian, the life of compromise, the life that says, well, I can live for God, and at the same time, I can live for the world. I can obey God when I want, and when it's not convenient for me, I can do what I please and disregard the laws of God. A life of compromise will never be rewarding for the Christian. And so in 2015, that should be one of those resolutions that we should make. What is it? You can look inwards, look around you. What is it that actually have the capacity to pollute, to corrupt my spirit? That when it comes to you, you know it threatens even the very foundation of the things that you believe in. And God may be saying to you, these are the things that you need to get rid of. These are the things that you need to shut out. And I love the way the scripture said it. If you go back to Genesis, you remember when Satan came and tempted Eve. You know those areas, the Bible says that she saw the tree, the fruit that it was good for food. She desired it. And so sometimes you can see that some of these things come through our natural senses. I can see it, I can desire it, and then she knew that it will, as she said, make her wise. And so she stretched out to it and took it. And so for us, what we need to be watching out for are those areas of temptation, those areas of weaknesses, those areas that we can easily fall when we are not on guard. And is there resolution that we say to ourselves, with God's help and with God's grace, I will not defile myself with whatever that is around me. And then finally, what about your resolution for serving Christ this year? Because no matter the resolution that you've come up with, whether you're going to honor God with what God has given you, whether you're going to honor Him through the scripture reading and being devoted to the scriptures and studying it like never before, whether you've decided that the resolution will be about a clean life before God and before men, what about Christ Jesus Christ? Have you made a devotion? When I mean devotion, have you decided that 2015, that is, if you don't know Him, that you're going to give your heart to Him? You know, sometimes you might be walking in a particular direction. All of a sudden, you just realize that, you know what, I think I need to make a turn and begin to serve the Lord. You know the prodigal son in the scriptures? The Bible says that it got to a point and he came to his senses. That's what happens to some people, especially in their relationship. Maybe they grew up in a Christian home. They've known things about God, but they've never taken God seriously for once in their lives. And all of a sudden, just like the prodigal son, they come to their senses. They look at themselves and they say to themselves, I actually should be living better. I actually should have a solid relationship with my God. And then they turn. And the next thing you see them is going back to their father. And then when they get to the father, or when you get to the father, it says that the father then embraced the son and threw a party for him. And that is what God does. He's ever willing to welcome and to accept us. So if we are making resolutions, don't forget that this is actually the starting point. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you've not made that great commitment to serve Him with your heart, then this might be the best time to do that. I always love the beginning of a year because it's a time to start new. For someone who really wants to commit himself or herself to Jesus Christ, it's a great time to do it. To say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Change me. Touch me. I want to live for you in this brand new year. And I'm sure that God will honor your heart desires and not just bring you into that living relationship, but help you to serve Him with the things that He's blessed you with. Help you to devote yourself to the reading of the scriptures and to help you to live a clean and a consecrated life all the days of your life. And I pray that these resolutions will be things, three of them just as simple as they are, but they will guard our hearts in the days and months to come. Amen. Shall we just bow our hearts and just pray through some of these things that I've just mentioned tonight?
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church? Or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.